Tonight, we're going to dive into the first 8 episodes of Luke Cage, episode 5 of Cloak & Dagger, and we're going to have a fun chat about our favorite costumes from comics, movies, TV, and elsewhere. So be ready with your thoughts and share them with us in the chat. Marvel TV Weekly starts now!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Or woman, welcome to Marvel TV Weekly. I am Christian Blatt, back from Knoxville, and happy to be here with everyone. Carrie, Zia, and of course Amy did a great job in my absence, but I was not going to be gone more than 1 week. I don't want to get Wally pipped. Sports fans, you go ahead and you can explain in the chat. All right, well, I'll say it really fast. There's a player for the Yankees. His name was Wally Pipp. He missed one day, and this kid filled in for him. His name is Joe DiMaggio. Wally Pipp never started again. So I'm always very hesitant to not miss any of my shows. But you guys did a great job. I enjoyed it, and I felt like, you know, I wouldn't have added anything. So why I had to immediately come back and start dragging the show back down. Anyway, I am Christian Blatt, and joined again by our special extended guest. She has a residency here on the show.
Yay! Yay! I like that. Hello.
And Carrie Lane.
What's up, everybody?
Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Hi.
And in the chat, Anthony, Tony B. Tony.
Hey, I'm in the chat. I'm in the booth. He's everywhere.
He's everywhere you want to be.
Yep.
All right, so starting point is going to be first Cloak & Dagger. We're going to talk about episode 5, and we'll start off with a comment from last week's show where, Zia, you feel like you're too old for this show.
I do.
I am almost twice your age, and I love this show, so there's something wrong with me, probably, right? I don't think it's anything with you.
I mean,
I think they're really good together. And yeah, look, you know, when there's a lot of like high school stuff going on, I'm like, should I be watching this? But I enjoy it. I really like them, and I like getting to see more and more of their powers. This week, did you still feel like, what am I watching this for? Or I like... Anytime she gets the little light dagger, though, I'm like, yeah, use it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like getting to see the powers. And you know what? It's a good example of how, obviously, you know, look, women are faster to develop, and Cloak's a little slow with his powers. Still has no idea how they work. And
Pretty much.
How am I here from the game with a basketball?
Like, you've done this how many times?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
At some point, he's going to figure it out. What are the takeaways of things you're enjoying Cloak & Dagger in this week in particular, Zia?
Things I'm enjoying. Okay, let's see. I like that the boyfriend is in jail. The ex of Tandy's boyfriend is in jail and he's kind of angry at her. So I'm hoping there's a little rivalry there. I like that we're getting started with that. Maybe there will be something there.
I like that she started robbing people in the locker room during the big game or the pep rally or whatever.
She was doing a specific one to get that uniform, to get the inside scoop.
But she also took, what was it,
a tablet
or a laptop?
That laptop did not help her cause. She just stole it for money.
No, she used it.
Well, okay then. Also, I guess it's all right to steal it.
I know, but I mean, she didn't sell it to pawn it off. She was using it. Everything
for
she's stealing
research.
Right now is more for function rather than just like making money.
All right. Well, my mistake. Apparently,
but she's still stealing.
Yeah,
yes,
I was gonna say,
yes.
She's still stealing.
She's stealing.
Carrie, how are you feeling 5 episodes into Cloak & Dagger?
I'm liking this episode better, though there was so much shaky camera BS that I was so annoyed. I'm like, okay, so if you and I are sitting and talking, my world is not doing this, but when he when Tyrone goes and talks to the detective, the camera is like moving so much. I'm like, all right, fine, maybe because he's a little upset, so it's mood. I'm like, no, there was a lot of moments in this episode that had the camera like moving around too much. I'm like, just stop it.
Yeah,
it was really annoying. But otherwise, plot wise, it was really interesting. I liked where the detective was going. I liked the relationship with Tyrone and his girlfriend. Well, possibly girlfriend. So stuff like that. I was like, oh, good. We're, like, making progress. So now it's getting to the meat of stuff. So it's getting more intriguing rather than just, like, oh, stuff. And yes, power's finally developing more, which was great, but the cinematography bothered me.
Interesting, because I think this isn't the first week you've mentioned it, and I just don't notice it, and
depends,
I don't know what
it is.
And I don't know. I watch it on TV. Do you watch it on a tablet? Do you watch it?
No,
on
I watch it on TV. But funny thing, when we go talk to about Luke Cage, I'll have.
Okay.
I'm liking that one better now.
Okay.
The next set of episodes.
Interesting. Okay.
But yeah.
Amy, your overall thoughts?
I still like it. This was the first episode that I saw after, you know, watching the first four, like, back to back.
Yeah, you watched the first four, like, 6 years ago or something.
Pretty much, yeah, before anyone else. No, just kidding. Yeah, it was nice. I really want more of them together,
yes.
Like, using their powers. Yes. So, but I understand they're taking their time with it, which I appreciate, you know, especially with Tandy laying out all the rocks on papers. And it's like, they're not rushing through anything, which I like, because if you rush through it, you're like, okay, we're here. We didn't earn it. So I like that. And I like that she throws Tyrone at that, like, event thing.
She, like, tosses him
over. Yeah.
So that he can just go to
there was actually a split second where I thought it didn't work.
Yep. Me too.
And same here.
And then she just pushed him. Yeah.
That was good same. Filmmaking. Yeah. Because then we all worry, like, oh, no.
You know, Carrie, you were talking about the moment, you know, sort of the interaction, Tyrone and his maybe girlfriend. And, you know, he gave her his jacket.
Yes.
And I need to ask, since I have three ladies on the panel, did that happen ever for any of you, or was that a big deal for friends of yours or anything? Because my school, that just wasn't a thing. And, like, I've seen it on TV, but I've never actually witnessed that happen in real life and people being excited about it.
Yeah, same.
Never seen it.
Okay. Come on, you're from Texas, Amy.
Things are slightly different way in the South, but I think I did see it a few times, but it wasn't that big of a deal. And it wasn't like, oh my God, like he proposed or something. But I was also on the pep squad and, like, the junior varsity dance team.
Of course you were on the pep squad.
I'm not surprised at all.
So the way that they did the guys, you know, like, walking out and everyone rooting for them, I was like, whoop, it's just like it. It's the same. Mm-hmm. Okay. It was really nice.
So anyway, that was just one of those thoughts that I had that, you know, I just, but I like where we see things going. I like that, I liked Tandy going around the party and just sort of, like, you know, checking the lightness on everyone.
But the ear thing was kind of weird, though.
Yeah.
Oh, there are some times where she touched people. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're slowing it down for us, the viewers, but it probably was like that.
Yeah, it is.
You know, just tap and move.
Because it is weird. It was almost like
neck. Too?
Yeah, she almost, like, gave the guy a wet willy, like, you know, put her finger right in the ear, you know? And then I don't know if that clouds what you actually see.
Hands are great, arms are great.
But
Nick,
but
I think they're slowing it down for the purpose of our viewing, I hope.
What did you think about the other side of that when Tyrone was, you know, bumping into literally anyone that he touched?
That was cool.
It was
difficult to understand a couple of them.
Yeah, I mean, there was, like, the one kid was getting beat up by his dad. The ref was obviously in for some money. And there were a couple that were confusing. Well, go ahead. What all of you thought of that before I... posit something. So did you think that was cool, seeing Tyrone doing that?
I liked it.
Yeah, I think I like Tandy's more. The way they showed it.
Although hers are more fun.
Oh, but I totally called that. I'm like, he's going to go suck that guy. For sure.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, no, I'm going to wait, crawl in bed. And I said it. And the husband's like, no. And I'm like, it happened. I'm like,
told you.
Called it.
I like her face when she's like, oh.
She's like, all right.
She's like, all right.
Yeah.
And yet he still reacted positively when she touched him, so that'll tell you a lot about that. What were you going to say a second ago, Zia? I stepped on something.
No, that's okay. I actually forgot. Oh, I think I was just going to say that I actually liked the Tyrone moment, just because it felt more natural.
Now, my question is that he obviously has some degree of control of it. I don't know if it's because of his intense emotions, but that doesn't happen when he touches his girlfriend.
True.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's happy and excited or whatever, you know, whatever happens to teenage boys when they're around their girlfriends. I don't
remember.
Oh, who spent the night?
Yeah, that's true. That's
and
a great
she
point.
Had a like. They had a scene where they did the jacket and it was just high schoolers, but I'm like, pump up the volume, man. Come on.
That made me laugh. I was like, oh, I should wear
just
a training
bra.
Yeah.
It's a bralette. Let's give her a little bit of
benefit.
You're
right. A bralette. But yeah,
but
I guess
like, oh,
that's
in high
appropriate
school.
For 16, yeah.
Go watch Pump Up the Volume. They do that scene way better. But then she's still there in the morning. I'm like, oh, I see what you did there, show.
I'm going to question, though.
Yeah.
She seemed to understand why Tyrone didn't take the shot at the last second. You know, she said, like, yeah, I know what you did. I'm like, Well, no, you don't.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Is it creepy how much she's paying attention?
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
She's like, I pay attention to you. And I'm like, you really do.
I mean, well, we had that discussion and we brought it up. And yeah. Now that you're here, Christian, as a, if a lady was pursuing you that way, do you consider aggressive or is she just thorough? I feel Tyrone's a little dense that he would almost need a girl to be that, like, on it to be like, I like you.
Yes.
Otherwise, he'd be like, wait, what?
Yeah. Especially when I was that age, I needed that. Okay. You know, it was one of those things where, you know, I was like, well, all of her friends say that she likes me, but she's not acting like it, so they must be wrong. You know, I'm like, I don't know why they're all telling me that, and yeah. They keep telling me. So, yeah, I can relate to Tyrone in that. And then we also got to meet Tyrone's brother's friend, who I wish I had the character name written down this way. You see him and everything's going good, you're like, oh, something bad's gonna... Yep. We're gonna get something bad out of that. That'll be interesting, though, to see how that plays out. And I guess for me, the best revelation in the episode is the fact that Detective O'Reilly is willing to really play the part to try and get the, you know, the cop that shot Tyrone's brother.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, I don't know if she was pretending to do coke. Or she
looked like, but she was, man, snort. Those lines were,
they
gone.
Snort a, yeah, lot of drugs on this show, by the way.
She did a lot.
Yeah.
Well, okay, this is totally me being nitpicky, but the way she snorted was slightly different than everyone else because she made that weird, like, noise that was like,
well, because she was doing coke weird. Instead of snorting pills.
Yeah, but the other guy different? That walked in, the other detective, he did it. And
different
it was
sound.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's a pro, you know.
She's and a deviated septum. I don't know.
Okay, too much coke. There we go.
Watching Nip Tuck made me scared of any form of drugs that way. And they're like, yeah, their deviated nasal septum. Passageway is like the size of a quarter.
Ooh.
I'm like,
no.
Yeah, that's creepy. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Officer O'Reilly, there is actually a tie-in to Luke Cage. And I had the thought when she talked about how she was a cop in Harlem. And I read this online. I did not find it myself. But in episode 8 of Luke Cage, which is the last one we'll talk about, If It Ain't Rough, It Ain't Right is the title. And during the episode, Misty is speaking with another detective about some of their former colleagues. She says, Callahan is in Maui, and O'Reilly moved to New Orleans. So it's just a very little... Yeah, okay. And these are the sort of things that we love. And, you know, granted, like, different platforms, different networks, we're not going to have the big crossover, but I love stuff
name
like that.
Name drop is,
yeah,
so great.
That's great. So, I don't know. It's such a little thing. But I also find the character to be much more interesting the last couple episodes. Like, at first, I thought it was going to be kind of a one-note sort of thing, and she's...
She's more interesting after this last episode.
She's very empathetic to both Tyrone and Tandy, yeah, and she wants to try and, you know, she understands the system she's up against, and probably only a cop that is coming from outside of New Orleans would be willing to try and do this. I think she'd probably regret it, in all honesty, but... it makes for good watching. Let us know in the chat if there's any thoughts. Let me know, Carrie, and let the audience know if there's anybody who's talking Cloak and Dagger.
Everybody's been a little bit quiet, so yes, please talk about Cloak and Dagger. We do have we kind of said it maybe before, but we have a live chat on YouTube. Thank you very much for joining us. We have Ghost 8386, Ivan Soto, Star Drew, Aunt Barrow, Ivan Soto, Zizby Lou. Kristen Jackson.
The Usuals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. A lot of people are talking about seeing Ant-Man and the Wasp. So we're
They've
talking about
seen
Cloak
it already?
Dagger.
I know.
No, they want to. No, being
I know,
excited.
Amy. You saw it. Amy sees
How'd
everything.
You know?
Because you told me the last time I saw you that you were going to see it.
Oh, yeah.
I saw you on Tuesday. And you're like, I'm going to see it tomorrow. Because you're always seeing the movies early.
It's just not telling anything.
Yeah.
Seeing it this Saturday.
And by the way, that's one of the reasons why next week's topic, I'll mention it again at the end of the show, but will be favorite team-ups. There may be a great team-up in the next batch of Luke Cage episodes, but also because of Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Gotcha.
But anyway, speaking of Luke Cage, we'll get over there in a moment, but I think that there is a Luke Cage after show, and there's a lot of ways where you can find it. I believe Zia is on that panel.
I am on the Luke Cage after show panel. We do, on Thursdays, we tape from 3 to 5. So we do 2 episodes at a time, 2 hours at a time.
Oh,
so
wow.
4 episodes in 2 hours. Cover a lot of stuff.
The 2 episodes that are already out there, which you can find on YouTube, are the first 4 episodes.
First 4,
And
yes.
Then you'll do episodes 5 through 8.
Yes.
Okay, which is what we're going to talk about in a little bit. Yeah. Amy, please let people know how they can find that and some other great shows here at AfterBuzz.
Well, hey, AfterBuzzers. Hi. Here at the network, we produce after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans. That's us. But now, we need your help. So we're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. So you can subscribe to multiple. Besides helping us a ton, here's what is in it for you. It caters specific content you already like directly to you. It brings you your favorite after shows so you don't have to seek them out. And it suggests content from other channels or podcasts that might interest you. It's all about you guys. So subscribing to our YouTube channels will also help you discover new shows we're sure you'll love. Since you already tuned into this show called Marvel TV Weekly that, you know, we're on sci-fi, superheroes, and fantasy channel, you might be interested in Luke Cage, which is what we just talked about, Cloak and Dagger, which we also just talked about, but they go really in depth. And then you said that you guys just wrapped up The Expanse.
Yeah, you can watch the finale of The Expanse. We had Bobby Draper Skyping in.
That's nice. I like it when people Skype it because then it just gives you a whole nother point of view. So obviously all nerds can unite on this channel. But remember, we also have channels for other genres too, so please don't be shy about subscribing to those either. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't worry, they're optional. So it's easy. So you just need to hit that subscribe button now for an even easier AfterBuzz experience. And if you let us know that you did in the comments right here down below, we'll shout you out on air. So thanks for being the best fans. We promise to continue to do our best to serve you. Thank you.
And thank you, Amy.
Oh, thank you.
And obviously, yes, we don't go in as in-depth as the specific show after shows, but we are going to talk a little bit about Luke Cage. Now, you ladies covered the first four episodes. And because I wasn't here, I'm going to briefly.
Oh, no, we did the first three.
You did the first three. Okay, and we're doing up through eight. All right, so you did the first three.
Oh, we did five. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right, but so that's what we're going to. There are just a couple things that, some notes that I took.
Yes.
I think it was in the first episode. D-Dub says, just because you a woke superhero doesn't mean you got to be a broke superhero. And I'm like, man, that should be a shirt.
Yeah.
He should actually put that on one of the shirts. And there was a very nice little Night Nurse song, which is Claire's character. And I thought that was cool. And you guys highlighted something that I said about something that I really liked, which was saying to, I guess it was to Shades, that pussy must be ridiculous. And
their
then,
kissing, I must say, we've talked about kissing on other shows. The kissing between Shades and Mariah is like the most unsexy kissing ever.
I have a theory on that. That we'll talk about later.
Oh, yeah.
During these next episodes, some of the kisses were better, but some were just like...
That's my fiance and I, same thing we were watching. We're like, what is this?
I get the feeling that neither one of them enjoys it.
That was my...
Yeah.
That's what I said.
I still think that Shades is playing some kind of long game.
Yes,
you know?
I said that as well.
I really, because you're just like, ugh.
It's just not natural.
Yeah. Yeah. And as the course of, up through episode 8, and I have seen past episode 8, but I have sort of little descriptions in front of me so I don't talk about things after. But as it goes on, you start to go like, no, he can't possibly. And then he shows up again and you're like, really?
There are times where I go, sure, I buy it. But I don't know. Just one of those, like, whoever directed them, I'd be like, yeah, we gotta do that again.
A little more feeling, guys. What's with the weirdness?
That's what I mean. Some scenes it's better, but other times it's really just painful to watch.
Yes.
So through these first eight episodes, let's sort of go in overall. How do you ladies feel about Bushmaster? I think that Cottonmouth was amazing in the first part of season one, and then they killed him off too early, and I just didn't like the second part of season one as well. I like that this is a guy who... can at least stand toe-to-toe with Luke Cage, beat him up one time, and then really hasn't successfully done that yet, because there's an explanation, and I like that. I don't like just, I'm tougher than you, and you're just going to have to get your ass whooped every time. But what do you ladies think about Bushmaster, as we've seen him through the first eight episodes? Zia, you first.
I really like him as a villain. I think that he's very vengeance-driven, which is such a powerful emotion, that he just hates the Stokes so much. Every time he brings up anytime anyone says Mariah Dillard, he gets so angry.
Stokes!
Yes, Stokes. And I love that. So there's a lot of passion there, and there's a lot of hatred there, and I think that that personally makes an awesome villain. And he plays that role really well. He's great at that. Also, I didn't notice this. Somebody brought it up in the Luke Cage after show, and so I was really paying attention. He has, like, these amazing gray eyes.
Oh.
But are they really his?
I don't know if they're really his. I should have looked that up. But just in the show.
Scenes where I was curious if they're really his eye color, because it's one of those the pupil doesn't change, which generally means it's context.
Yeah.
But I cannot verify.
No, no, I should have looked that up.
Well, wait, let me go look him up on IMDb.
Yeah, well, while you look that up, we'll sort of leapfrog you, yes. So give you the chance. And what do you think about Bushmaster as a villain, Amy?
When we first saw him, I was like, you're really scary. Good job.
Yeah.
Yes.
But now I'm like, okay. Like, there's depth to him. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like, I'm angry. Which I appreciate. I also feel like he has such a good, I don't know, like the way he stands, the way he just composes himself. It's not composes himself, but like, yeah.
His posture
is so like big, that even if he doesn't take up that much room, it's just like, dang, he's very powerful, he's very threatening, and are they gray?
Those look like his eyes.
Yeah, that looks like he has
wow.
gray eyes. Yeah, look at that.
They look more green on the show. I agree. I wish they had gotten to his backstory sooner, because, I mean, it's easier when we're binging it, but, you know, if it takes me about... I think it was like episode 6 or 7 where they're like, here's our backstory and why I'm being so horrible. Because that was every time he's like, it's my birthright. It's my birthright. I don't care. Can we get to why it is, please? Like, I would have wanted that. It's my birthright because da 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 da. Like, something. Give me something. I had to wait too long to get that. And so it was like, oh, okay. Like, it was a nice reveal when we finally get it, but that took a little too long for me.
I do also like the fact that he's positioning himself. Like, he keeps saying, like, Luke Cage, I don't want to fight you. We want the same thing,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think, obviously, that's a little bit disingenuous because of the methods in which,
yes.
you know, the fact that he's willing to basically burn down all of Harlem just to get what he wants.
Cut off a lot of heads.
Yeah, a lot of heads.
That was so gross.
Heads were all
poor Piranha.
Yeah. Poor Piranha, but, you know... Not really the best guy.
No,
and,
but I did for some reason still feel bad for him.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was about
him. One of
the
lesser evils of those.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah, of all the people who had their head cut off. And, you know, I think when he first hires Luke for his party, you're like, okay, he's kind of a dick. But then you're just like, all right, Luke's really going above and beyond. And then, unfortunately, when Luke is like, all right, Dad, you have to watch him. You're like, oh, well, now he's going to die.
Yeah, of course.
Why did you just leave him in the church?
I thought he was going to be wearing his, like, classic comic suit when they're like, you got to wear this.
Oh,
just because
yeah.
you've mentioned it. And then I was like, oh, is that why he's so upset? I'm like, oh, it's just
the hoodie.
I actually thought that he might have had that on, too.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
he just wanted to have the hoodie. Yeah, I know. It's
Which I don't understand why Luke was so upset about that. I mean, I get it. It's like an old hoodie that with gunshots in it, but it's still just a hoodie. I thought it was going to be so much worse.
That was kind of there were about two good meta jokes. One, like, making fun of cosplay.
Yeah.
And then also, it's my show.
I was going to mention that, actually.
Oh,
I'm glad you brought that up. Because it's like how do you know?
That. Sidekick, yeah.
Yeah, that I'm not saying. It's my show. And I'm like, what? Wait, what?
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I don't see that. I don't remember ever seeing that in any Marvel show, breaking the third wall, mm-hmm. or the fourth wall. That's a fourth wall, right?
Fourth wall.
Yeah.
Breaking the fourth
not
wall.
Marvel.
Yeah, and look, I think it's it can be very funny when it's done. And they must have just felt like, oh, it's so funny if he says it. But it took me out of it for a minute because I'm like, wait, did he just really say that? And it was funny in the moment. And I think that that's what they must have ultimately decided. But that was in my notes that he's like, it's my show. And like, yeah, I guess it is.
It works, but it's really true. Not superhero the same way, but in the Sense8 finale, they had a moment where they had like a couple of one. There, somebody had always get shot. He's like, why am I always the one to get shot? And then someone's like, I really wanted an epic like planning sequence. And then they have an epic planning sequence. So they had at least couple of those, and you're like, okay, that's kind of funny. But it's one of those.
I enjoy it.
They've been around long enough. They're like, yeah, you can make a joke.
Yeah.
Why
and
not?
If it's just one or two that
they
like quickly throw in there, yeah, I don't mind that because you're right. It's just a funny moment.
Yeah.
At any point during these eight episodes, have any of you ladies or anyone in the chat found themselves feeling bad for Mariah? Because I have not.
No.
Even when her house is on fire, even her daughter not liking her and not talking, you know, there's no moment where I'm like, oh, that's a bit much. You know, like, oh, poor Mariah. No. I still don't feel bad for her. Let's put it that way.
I don't feel bad for her, but the child suffering for the crimes of the parent is a little rough. Because Bushmaster's like, well, your father did it, kind of a thing.
Yeah. Is her grandfather, by
grandfather.
The way.
Grandfather. Yeah. So it's like...
Yeah, it's Mama Mabel's husband, yeah.
But it doesn't stop the insane amount of horrible things she did without caring.
True. She's done tons, so it doesn't make up for it at
all. It really drives me crazy that she keeps talking about family first and her daughter's the only one she has left when she didn't talk to her for 12 years.
Mm-hmm. and also... She killed her cousin.
She killed her cousin.
So family first.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's not really family first. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So.
Yeah, she's done too much. I'm with you on that. I don't feel bad for her at all. Even though they are very much, they're doing a good job of humanizing her, but she plays such a great, just hateful character. She does a great job of that, really.
Well, it's nice to see her just kind of crumble.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. There are everything.
There are a lot of moments where another character you would feel bad for, you know? Like being almost burned alive, you know?
I'm so sorry. The chat room apparently froze on here. Yeah, so it was stuck. If we were like, scroll down. I'm like, no, it got stuck. I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to go back and read some of these.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah. Refresh.
Well, oh, you're refreshing. Cool. Okay, I thought... Yeah.
But thank you very much for chiming in.
One of the things that you ladies talked about last week that has stood out for me was the moment when Misty and Colleen tore up that bar room. And I also love the fact that Colleen just kind of sat there and let, you know, Misty's like going to be able to handle it until she's not able to handle it and then I'll help her out. How are we feeling about Misty's new arm?
Which love it.
We all knew was coming.
Love it.
Yep. I'm glad they finally got to that because it was another one too. It's like, we know it's coming. Can we get there, please?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I don't know if she's going to get it, like, all tricked out, but I think she's starting to figure out what to do with it. Like, there's even moments where she's like, oh, wow, I can really hit things much harder with this. Go figure.
When she was in the other mirrored side of the room, and she punched the whatever that silver thing was, and it went crumpling in, she was like, oh, hey. And then there was a couple fight scenes where she punched some people and they flew backwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very Full Metal Alchemist. She has her arm.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, that's going to be so useful for her.
Yes, absolutely. And so throughout these first eight episodes, are there any other overall, you know, big moments that any of you want to share, Amy? You seem to have something.
Yes. Well, you know, still touching on Misty and Luke fighting at the same time, kind of together, but separately, and him just kind of standing back and watching her.
I enjoyed that. This is very interesting from the chat. Ghost 8386 says, people online are calling Bushmaster the Netflix Killmonger.
Sure. Ooh, okay. I found Killmonger to be sort of starting from a point. You really agreed with a lot of what Killmonger was thinking, just right up until a certain point. I think that with Bushmaster, you meet him and he's already killed everybody. You know what I mean? So, like, Killmonger gets up to a point and you're like, oh, no, man, you kind of had me. What you were saying made sense up until... But, I mean, I think in terms of great villain, yes. I think that... look, it's tough to compare him to Cottonmouth because Cottonmouth got killed early on in the first season. So I think he's a great foil for Luke Cage. And I don't know how the season ends, so I hope that maybe we get to see him at the end. Has anybody seen past episode 8?
No. Well, then I had a couple of quick comments about him. I don't know if it's Christian Jackson says, he was very sympathetic, referring to Bushmaster. And then kind of what you were saying, Christian, Seb Ross says, he and Killmonger are very similar. They're both people who are in the right insofar as their goals, but their methods make it impossible to side with them.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. The Bushmaster was definitely wronged. And, you know, I think his uncle sort of has a better approach. Is like, look, you're entitled to it and you're consumed by this. And by the way, the Nightshade is doing something to your head, so you probably don't want to use it so much.
And nobody's feeling for Mariah. They're like, No.
I didn't think so. But I'd love to hear somebody say that they did. You know, that I got...
Rory Fansler says, I felt sorry for her once in a brief moment. What was that moment?
I want to know what that moment was. Maybe like the fact that she was about to be burned alive.
Yeah, but it's in a later episode, so I think it's something
like that.
Okay. Thank you.
So,
not saying yes.
All right, so then episode 8 ends with a moment that, for people who know me, know I was very excited because Luke tells Misty to call Danny for help.
Yes.
And maybe, look, I've seen through episode 10, so I know that we may or may not see Danny, but we'll see what happens. What I will say is that episode 9 is great in terms of acting and character work. So we will see some good stuff. And we will talk about the rest of the season next week on this show. We have a lot to talk about next week because we'll have episode 6 of Cloak and Dagger, a little bit of Ant-Man and the Wasp, and then also the remaining episodes of Luke Cage season 2. What's over there?
Not the chat, but something I was going to mention earlier. So I would say 1 through 4 of Luke Cage were very slowly paced. Episodes 5 through 8, I love the cinematography so much more. And because 1 through 4 had these weird, like, really awkward close-ups on people that just felt odd. There were some cool shots here and there, but overall, I like the direction and then cinematography of these later episodes because it made so much more engaging of a show. And it's just kind of interesting because, you know, every episode generally has a different director and cinematographer, but... how, like, the first four to me were like, you know. And then the next ones, I was like, oh, okay, now it's picking up. Now I'm interested.
I definitely think that the look of the show is great. And to the point you're making is that, yeah, the first four, it was... I watched those, I think, in almost like a sitting, so it helped. But, yeah, there was a lot more deliberate. It was just like, just get to the stuff that we can see coming. But let us know what you think in the chat. So there was a brief reference a moment ago to Luke having the sweatshirt, the hoodie. That's basically his costume in this version of Luke Cage. And... there was a conversation last week about in episode 4 of Cloak and Dagger where Tyrone actually has the cloak that we get to see. So that inspired me to have this little conversation here in our final few minutes about our favorite costumes. And so this can be from comics, from movies and TV. The only ground rule was that we each had to at least pick one from television. And so I will go with my first one, which, if I remember correctly, is indeed from... it's the Daredevil Season 2 picture of the Punisher. Because he didn't really wear the skull in his own series. It also looked a little different. Like, the Punisher series starts, he's setting it on fire. I'm like, no, that's what I like. And I really liked season 1 of The Punisher, but I loved him so much with Daredevil. And I think that I probably connect the two of those together in some way. But that's definitely my number 3. Zia, what was yours?
I had to go with Spider-Gwen. I was just pulling a new one because I was looking for inspiration. And I was like, I love that it has a hood. To me, that's amazing.
I know very little about the character except that obviously she's Gwen Stacy. Or a clone of Gwen Stacy or some variation of that. And so obviously you can't actually have your superhero name be Spider-Gwen, but everybody calls her Spider-Gwen. And I do like that she has a hood. I don't know why she has
a
hood.
And that it's black and white. No, it doesn't. Yeah. I don't know either, but I love it. I love the look of it.
There's so much pink when people do it.
There's a lot of pink. That's true.
For the black and white
I've seen that. Carrie, you're number 3.
I'm going to go with Rogue from X-Men, the... younger series.
Oh, so this is X-Men Evolution,
yes,
correct?
Thank you. Yeah. X-Men Evolution.
You know,
so.
our friend Michael Shirley, who
was really
on this panel.
He really liked that one.
Yeah, but he doesn't like Anna Paquin as Rogue, who I always thought was good because they decided to have a younger Rogue.
Yeah.
You know, younger than we're used to having her.
Yeah.
So I thought that she played that well, but I guess I'm in the minority. This is a cool look, and I think you ladies
actually legit practical, like a normal teenager could wear this.
You ladies were saying that you actually would have worn this to high school.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And waited for Tyrone to put his jacket around that over it or something. I don't
of
know.
Of course.
Yeah. Amy, what was your number three?
My number three was from comics, so it's Thanos in Thanos Quest. Just because it's so freaking epic.
I mean, and
it's a pretty epic outfit.
Yeah. Look at
and there's his smile.
Terrifying.
Well, he's so happy. You know?
I know. I'd love it, and especially translating that to Infinity War.
Yeah.
Obviously, the movie. It was just nice. Nice to see those.
Anthony, do you want to give them? You want to go take your turn, or you want to do all yours at once? Is it easier for you?
I could. Yeah, I could go through all of them.
Okay. So do you want to just give us number three right now, and then I'll do my number two, and we'll move on?
Yeah, or? Sure. Okay. So I'll just give you all of them right now?
No, let's just get your number three
right
now.
Oh, my number three?
Yeah.
Okay, so this comes from Luke Cage.
Yes!
And I just feel like this is the most proper for me because it's the most like comic booky out of all of them because it's just so ridiculous. Because he doesn't need any armor like Daredevil, really, you know? Like Daredevil's still pretty practical. With, like, padding and everything. But this is just so ridiculous that I love it so much.
Yeah, he doesn't need those bracelets. He doesn't need the headband. Yeah. But that's what he looked like in the comics.
Exactly.
Least, you know, the classic iteration of the character.
It's good they did a nod to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I thought that one was pretty proper. And then the one after that, this is from the film. I think one of the best Marvel MCU.
Oh, the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, the Winter Soldier.
So that's your number two.
That's my number two.
All right, now hang on. Let's not get to number ones. We'll all do our number ones together. So I'll do my number two now.
You got it.
Which is the brown Wolverine costume. Not that yellow one with the stripes that I hate so much. This awesome Wolverine costume. That is a uncluttered image from Uncanny X-Men 207. It does look a little red. He's got the red belt. It's brown and yellow, but it's not the one that you see like on the animated series.
It's not
I
the
hate
blue
that
and yellow.
One. Yeah, that's the one I like. Zia, what's your number two?
I went with Black Widow. I went both with the comics and the movie. I like them both. The comics are definitely more sensual and a lot more revealing, and the movie one is a little bit more practical, but I do really love them both.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before. There's a great stretch where Black Widow and Daredevil are an item, but they're also a crime fighter. And that book, the Daredevil series, was called Daredevil and Black Widow for a while. So I think that's very early 80s. So it's worth a read. I think that they worked really well together, and it's, of course, something we'll never see on the screen. Carrie, what's your number two?
Actually, right before I get to mine, Rory Fansler in the chat says, yes, best Wolverine costume. So agrees
Thank
with you.
You.
And then a couple other interesting ones, too. We have also Rory says, Ghost Rider in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I could have definitely.
I like that one, too.
I'm just mad at myself for not even thinking of that for my TV one. Yeah.
Ivan Soto said, Quake in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I did like the uniforms, the
It's okay. I mean, it's
not super exciting. But
yeah, it's kind of like
functional.
The X-Men uniforms in the movies. You know, it's very simple, but it looks good on her for sure.
Silver and Sable in the Venomverse.
Okay.
Said.
Silver Sable in the Venomverse. Okay.
Ink and TV agrees with you, Anthony. And then Ghost 8386. My favorite costume was Graviton, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 5. I'm like, wait, was that his? No, I don't like his outfit. His outfit looks so silly.
I liked his hair.
He had cool hair.
His
hair
outfit
was cool. Was like,
ugh. Yeah, I don't know. It was, sometimes the comic book style costumes don't translate well
this
to the
is
screen.
True. Mm-hmm. No, my second one, I'm like, what was I saying? I took a picture. I was blanking now.
So you did Rogue already.
Yes.
And I know.
Oh, Daredevil. I was because I was agreeing with somebody else who's going to mention it too. I liked when he goes from the just regular clothes and gets like a functional suit. And this was a good example of like a comic book to a real life functional suit. Like had padding. It had he could move in it. So I was like, oh, cool. Like, this I could buy as a super suit.
The funny thing about his initial costume before he has the Daredevil suit, sort of that, you know, the little, I don't know, the bandana over his head.
Yeah.
that's actually what Iron Fist's costume is like. It's yellow, but it's mm-hmm. that style, like his comic book.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yep. So I always thought that it was interesting because Danny doesn't even come close to wearing that. The only thing he comes close to wearing, like, the green robe at one point towards the end of season one. But I just think it's kind of an interesting style that
It'd
he has.
It'd be so funny if there's, like, some random episode of Iron Fist where Matt just gives him, like, the top piece of his bandana.
He's like, you need this.
He's like, here, you need a mask. Stop telling everyone you're the Iron Fist.
Well, anybody who will listen. And then, Amy, you're number two. I feel like it was just said.
Yes.
It is also... But what do you like so much about the Daredevil costume from the TV series?
I just think it looks so cool. And also, like, I would wear that. I would totally wear that cosplay as Daredevil. And it just, like, obviously it looks kind of warm. But it looks like you can, like you said, move in it. But you can really punch people.
Yeah, I think this is a great suit. Obviously, the classic Daredevil costume from the comics, which is red and he looks like a devil, is pretty great. Oh yeah, we do have an image of that because we actually have with Black Widow. I think you'll actually see it right there.
Look at that.
So look at that. There they are with Death is a Black Widow, and there he is. Now, when Daredevil first premiered, he had a yellow and black costume, which I've already gone on record about how I don't like it. I think
I remember that.
That they were afraid. Yeah, Anthony, if you can just find that really fast while I talk about it, we'll just show people. I believe they were afraid that Satan worshippers, devils, and all this stuff, especially in the early 60s. So they gave him a costume that. It just didn't make sense for a character named Daredevil. And at some point, I'm gonna assume Stan Lee was just like, no. Yeah, there he is.
Oh, that looks
there
no.
he is. It's, it's not, it's not a great costume,
it's
the
not
yellow.
It's scary. You wouldn't be scared of that man
no,
in
just
a kinda, dark street.
Yeah.
Also, with the darker red, it makes him blend into the shadows. Yeah. Instead of yellow, that's like one, not Marvel, but I have a friend who does stand-up comedy and makes a point that Robin has like a neon outfit, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
And Batman's in all black. So I'm like, yes, there's some function to suits that make sense.
So
other ones, you're like, why?
When Dick Grayson graduates from being Robin and he has the Nightwing costume, it's all black, which is actually a great costume.
That makes more sense.
But we don't talk about that on here, so it's not in the ranking. All right, Anthony, would you like to give your number one now?
Or, yes, I would.
All right, what is yours?
I'm going to take a little gamble on this one. It's Gambit.
And we were talking earlier, before we started, that turn of events in the comic books, Kitty Pryde and Colossus were supposed to get married. Spoiler alert for people who might be reading comics, but I feel like if you do read comics, you know that they didn't get married. But Rogue and Gambit did get married, and they're going to be starring in a new series, a new comic book series called Mr. and Mrs. X.
That's crazy.
And we're all ready for a TV or animated version
of
that.
Yes, please. Make it, please.
I think we can all agree on that. Anyway, the Gambit look, there's some issues with the character I have. I do love that he's Cajun from New Orleans because it made him very unique. I always found Gambit to be a lot more style than substance, but we're just talking about style, so that's all that matters.
Yep.
Because he looks really cool. For me, my number one, and it's the shirt that I'm wearing, is Spider-Man's black costume. I love the blue and red Spider-Man costume. It's great, but there's just something that this is right when I was first reading comics, too. I just love the black costume. And, it goes on and becomes Venom and all of that, but I just think it's a great look. And again, it's very practical for somebody who is creeping around in the shadows.
Except for the bright white on his chest.
That's all right. It's at least it stand out quite as much.
Faded.
So that's my number one. What were you going to say, Anthony?
Also in this in the comics, because I've been watching the Disney's Marvel the Marvel's Spider-Man. And it's a symbiote that just goes on him. Like, he just activates the suit. Is that how it is in the comics?
Yeah, that's how it
is
in the comics.
Okay.
So all the superheroes end up on this place called Beyonder World to fight all the villains, basically. And he ends up finding the symbiote in this other world. And then he starts to realize that the symbiote will go out web swinging at night while Peter's sleeping and actually starting to take over. So he has to go visit Mr. Fantastic of the Fantastic Four and get it removed. But then he has sort of an imitation version of it. But then that symbiote becomes Venom. So it's actually, yeah, so that's fairly faithful. And we'll talk more about the Marvel's Spider-Man animated series in a few weeks. I've watched a couple of those, and it's all right. It definitely feels like it's for kids.
I definitely started watching it as well because of what I told you last time. I saw the first two episodes of the second season, and I went back and started watching it from the start. I got to say, it's a lot more enjoyable than the previous season because the other season just had way too many jokes and cutaways, like Family Guy style.
Oh, no.
Yeah, like really, really bad cutaways. Although they're pretty fun because he incorporates other random characters in there, like there was Spider Pig, and it has more characters, and it's more of like an ensemble show because you do get like...
And by the way, and by Spider Pig, are you talking about Peter Porker, the Spectacular Spider Ham?
Yeah, I believe he gets turned...
I just wanted to make sure.
He gets turned into a pig by Loki, I believe.
Amy is making a face where she is really confused. And
have you not seen this image?
I feel like I'm going to need you to find, Anthony, I need you to type in Peter Porker, the Spectacular Spider Ham. You have to type in all those words to make sure we get the right look. Peter Porker, the Spectacular Spider Ham, was sort of a one-off gag in something called What If. And then he actually got his own Spider-Ham comic. And the one that you're about to bring up is it's great because it's this like iconic image from Amazing Spider-Man number 50 when he decides he doesn't want to be Spider-Man anymore. But there he is,
Amy's
Peter Parker,
like, no.
The Spectacular Spider-Ham. So it's supposed to be funny, right? It's like a joke character. So you have to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. But I don't know. It's something that I like. I'm going to give him honorable mention because he has such a cool Spider-Ham costume. All right, Zia, your number one.
Ooh, my number one was Rogue from the X-Men animated series.
Yes.
The 90s.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that look for Rogue. She's had a lot of different looks over the years. But this 90s Jim Lee era Rogue is kind of...
That yellow and green.
I know,
her hair.
You can't beat that hair.
That hair is so cool. So much volume.
The white stripe in her hair was really small when we first meet the character. And then it just sort of kind of... I don't know, it just takes
this
on a life of
like
its own.
This is like my more favorite with the white, where... I've seen ones where it's like a weird circle patch. I've seen it where it's like a mohawk. I like this where it's kind of like the bangs and a little bit of layers on top.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
It's a far cry from Anthony. I know I'm putting you to work tonight, but can you get the
stripes?
Can you get the cover for Uncanny X-Men number 171? This is the issue where Rogue joins the X-Men, and you'll see she had very short hair at this point. And this was a look that she had when she was basically considered a villain for a long time because she really did a number on Ms. Marvel.
Oh, I see.
And she
would
fight Dazzler. And, you know, so, there she is. And obviously, as they say in the cigarette ad, you come a long way, baby. So that's kind of, it's sort of an interesting little evolution there. And look, up there in the upper right, there's one of the many bad Kitty Pride costumes. I feel so bad for Kitty. That wasn't a good one. So anyway, but we have the good Rogue is your number one, Zia. And of course, Carrie, you're number one.
We're going to also give another shout out to Spider-Man.
Not Spider-Ham?
No.
What if John Hamm played Spider-Ham? I think he would have a good sense of humor about that.
Maybe. I really liked how I was a little bit apprehensive with the new Spider-Man with Homecoming because I'm like, because the last set of them, you're like, hit and miss. There's both.
You talking about the movies or
the
suit?
The movies.
Okay, so
and
but
the suit within the movie.
The suit in the Andrew Garfield movies. Did you like that suit?
I actually didn't see that one.
You didn't see either of those?
Because I was like, no, yeah.
Wow.
Now, I'm normally a fan that I would have watched it anyway.
There's some great Gwen Stacy in those movies.
Okay.
It's hard to. I know people don't love those movies. I actually really liked both of them.
Which one is it?
Is it Homecoming?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's the suit I like. So in this one, I liked how they kind of spruced up the image we already know and love. Like you can see right now, the couple extra lines on like his shoulders and arms, and I like how the different iterations he makes it, and then because this blends into when he gets the suit from Iron Man, and it has all the special gadgets. that's when you go, oh, okay, this is a really cool suit, which leads into also what he can do in Infinity War.
Right, so you're sort of like number 1A is also the Iron Spider suit.
Yes, because that was so cool when he's on the ship and then it's like, legs! Choof!
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm safe.
That was pretty cool. I like that was introduced as, well, you know what? Peter, you're going up into space. You're going to need it.
Yes.
And it's not going to be like his everyday suit, you know, in the next Spider-Man movie.
Which it's kind of like similar to Iron Man. He has different functional suits of different purposes.
And you know what? Shout out to Karen, the voice in his suit in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes.
All right. And Amy, you're number one. You are number one, but what is your number one?
Thank you.
What is your number one?
Freaking Black Panther.
Yeah.
In Black Panther.
It's you know, I did consider that.
It's perfect.
That suit is pretty amazing in the movie.
Yeah. It does so much. And Shuri, you know, obviously shows him everything it can do. And it's gorgeous. It's, easily my number one.
Pleasing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
What?
What's the matter?
Nothing.
What? Say it.
I just think it's a little too plain for me, but
I mean, it's very cool, the things
classy.
That it does.
Yeah, and it's what it does, what it looks like, who's wearing it, what he can do in it, and the fact that like you don't need weird colors.
And by the way,
I'm with the all black.
What I will say though, this is an image where we don't see the mask. So.
I know. Well, yeah.
You wanted to see how Chadwick Boseman was doing? Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, like I wanted to see him.
It's cool. I get it.
The man behind the mask.
Yeah, that's true.
Equally as important as the suit, the costume.
I don't disagree.
Costume that can like retract into a necklace, which
how
is super
freaking cool.
Never have to go change.
Just imagine if we could all have necklaces that are just like, this is what I'm going to wear today.
Who says
that
I don't?
That would be amazing.
I don't know. That's a great question. Are there any costumes from the chat? We only have another minute or so, but I wanted to give a chance for the fans out there to share their thoughts.
Ghost 8386 says, I like Sentry in blue Marvel costume.
So Sentry, I believe, unless I'm wrong, say some other ones because I think I am wrong, actually.
Everybody kind of said some of the early ones.
I'm going to throw a quick curveball here.
Do it.
So this is actually from, I don't know if this is actually from the Spider-Verse anywhere in the comic books. Maybe you can tell me, Chris, but this is from Shattered Dimensions, the video game. And I always loved it the first time I saw it. And it's like Spider-Man Noir.
That's like Spider-Man as the Shadow.
That is cool.
Yeah, it's pretty much like it's a game where you go into different dimensions. One of the dimensions you go into, it's like a noir world where everything's black and white. And you get the character of Spider-Man Noir.
By the way, Sentry is not the character I was thinking of, but it's a pretty cool suit, and an Avengers character that I honestly am not familiar with. I'm glad I didn't pretend that I knew who it was because I was wrong about who that was. But this, this like Shadow Spider-Man is actually kind of a cool look. It's reminiscent of when the Thing tries to be incognito, he'll wear a giant hat and a trench coat.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, there's this huge, massive creature walking down the street. I'm pretty sure, always smoking a cigar back in the day, by the way. It's before we knew how bad cigarettes were. So it reminds me of Ben Grimm. Yes.
I like how they describe this. Rory Fansler says, Doctor Strange costume, but the traditional, not the hippie one.
The traditional, I mean, that... You know, and they do a great job in the movie and then also in Infinity War, you know, just what the cloak, the robe does. You know, I love that it's a character in and of itself.
That's a good one where
it's a really
comic
cool
booky
look.
That works in the real world that doesn't look stupid.
Yeah. One that I was going to say, one that I came across that I actually haven't read them, so I didn't choose it. But when I was looking at stuff, I was like, oh, this is cool. There's an X-Force Deadpool costume that's all black. It's like it's all black, and I think there's a little bit of white on
you
there.
You can find a number of variations of the of the Deadpool costume.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many. Just go to a convention.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Last year at Comic-Con, someone dressed up as Doctor Strange, and he had the robe, like, right next to him floating.
Oh, my God. I remember that.
That's cool.
Yeah. I was there, yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody said it's Rob Ross, the painter. No, who's
Rob
the...
Ross.
Yeah.
Bob Ross.
Bob Ross. Thank you. Somebody did the Deadpool... Bob Ross.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
That was funny.
I think I've seen an image of that. By the way, Comic-Con's coming up, isn't it?
And it's in like two-ish weeks. And this coming up weekend is Anime Expo.
Yeah, so we'll have, there are going to be some good panels there that I think we'll have some things to talk about on this show. But next week, we'll be able to talk about, we're all going to finish Luke Cage Season 2. I think that...
hopefully.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about it with spoilers, so just keep that in mind. And we'll also talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp. We'll be 6 episodes in Cloak and Dagger. How many episodes is the season? Do we know? I'm always bad with this stuff. I don't know. I feel like they would get 13 episodes, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it's not too long.
Yeah, so, but I feel like the reason I say that is I feel like we're about the halfway point, you know, in the series, which for the amount of things that's happened... To Carrie's point, only might 10. be a little. There's only 10 episodes. All right, wow, so we are now exactly at the halfway done. Point. Oh boy!
I would love to see Ant-Man and the Wasp, but I'll be at Anime Expo, so I'm not sure.
I'm watching it on Saturday. I got tickets. I'm excited.
I'm hoping to see it on Friday, and Amy's already seen it. And Amy, one word. Did you?
Ooh,
thumbs
yeah,
up,
one
thumbs
word.
Down.
Wait, that's one not even word, a word and
two thumbs up.
Two thumbs yay!
Up.
Yay!
All right,
and
well, that'd be great.
A big smile.
Yes.
All right.
Like,
all
go right. see it.
All right.
Go see it, and we'll talk about it then. Amy's always seen everything before the rest of us. Anyway, thank you so much to everybody that was in the chat. And thank you, Anthony, for all the heavy lifting and just calling out things. And you found them all. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Anytime.
And also, we will be back next Sunday at 10 Pacific. And obviously, if you are on the East Coast, you can always watch the archive on YouTube. You can also find us on iTunes. But until next week, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, at ChristianDMZ. And Zia, don't look for her on Twitter, but where are you on Instagram?
I'm on Instagram. You can find me at Zia_land. It's spelled XIA_LAND.
And Carrie Lane, where do people find you?
Yeah, you guys can find me online on Twitter and Instagram at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
And Amy.
You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ.
And Anthony in the booth at TonyBTony_. Anyway, thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in and for joining us in the chat. We will see you next week. Until then, Excelsior!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.